News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, an awareness campaign highlighting false self-employment was launched yesterday. There is a concern that false self-employment exists across a number of industry sectors in Ireland. The campaign aims to gauge the scale of the problem and where it is occurring. Now, it was launched by Minister for Employment Affairs and Social Protection, Regina Doherty, who joins us now. Good morning, Minister.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
What exactly is false self-employment and why does it occur?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of people who are self-employed in Ireland who've had the gumption and the initiative to establish their own job and in a lot of cases provide employment for other people, which is great. But there are some people in Ireland who are being forced to be classified as self-employed, so as to declare either as a sole trader or are being forced to maybe set up a limited company so as to invoice as opposed to going through the normal PAYE and revenue system. We did a joint report between my department and the Revenue Commissioners a number of months ago, and there were three recommendations out of that report, two that relate specifically to the Revenue Commissioners as to how maybe to tax people differently that are self-employed. But most importantly for me, because it's based on employment rights and the benefits that you get from an RSI classification and the payment that comes from it, I want to make sure that people who may not want to be self-employed but are being forced to by the nature of some contract work that they're doing, know that there's an area within my department that does provide independent inspections and can reclassify or determine your correct status, and therefore your correct employment rights would be enshrined, but also more importantly, whatever benefits that you should be getting from the payment that should be made by your employer will be backdated and given to you.
Okay, so, Minister, do we have any inkling or indication of the number or the percentage of the overall self-employed figure that involves these very dubious self-employed category?
The number, Paul, anecdotally, like unions and certain commentators in on notice boards and social media would tell you that it's absolutely enormous. The report that we did with the Revenue Commissioners tells us that it's probably much smaller than I would have thought. But actually, it's too big, even if there's only 100 people that are being forced into self-employment. Now, I actually think it's probably tens of thousands, which is quite a sizable amount of people to be not getting their right benefits and, more importantly, their right employment rights. But also, it's quite a sizable amount of money that could go to the Revenue Commissioner. So that's the idea behind my campaign, is to make sure that people who are potentially not being classified correctly know that there is an area within my department that will do an inspection and that will determine whether you are or you aren't legally self-employed or whether you should be an employee. So that's why
So how does this work? Are you going to go after, like, because these are when you're registered as self-employed, the taxman comes down on you. You must do returns every year. They're very stickler. They're sticklers for this. And if you don't do it, they come down on you like a ton of bricks. Are you going to go after the dodgy employers here? Because it's the employers that are forcing these people into this situation, and they're the bad guys in all of this.
Well, ultimately, that's where we want to go. And it's not to cast aspersions on anybody. It's just to reclassify. So if any employee or self-employed person that thinks they should be an employee makes contact with my department, we will provide them with an independent investigator to look at their status. And that status will then be adjudicated upon. So for argument's sake, we'll use you just for argument's sake. So say you were thinking that you were self-employed, but actually you really believe that you're an employee because you don't have the ability to determine what hours you work or what rates of pay you work or what kind of work that you do. So we would come in, we would investigate you in the sense of the employee that you're working for, the person that you're contracted to, and we will determine whether you are actually self-employed or whether in actual fact you should be an employee.
Something like that happens. That means then the employer is told, listen, Paul Williams must be made a full-time PAYE, PRSI worker in your company and paid like that instead of being self-employed. First thing the employer can do in this great social Darwinistic world is sack me.
Well, first of all, it isn't just that you would be made an employee from the date that we declare your status. It's backdated to the day that you started working for that company, which then will determine that you have all of the rights and all of the backup of the WRC and the Labour Relations Court. Now, I totally appreciate that relations with your employer might be difficult. But in actual fact, the vast majority of people, I believe, and again, it's anecdotal, the vast majority of people who are being forced into self-employed status with contracts are the lower paid people who have less employment rights. And it's to make sure that they get the employment rights, but actually more importantly
now,
for
I'll
me,
tell you, Minister, you obviously have to do a bit more homework at this because you're not impressing Jack O'Connor, the former president of SIPTU, who has said, and as an old favourite of mine, he says this: that there is no resource, there are absolutely no resources being put into the government's clampdown on bogus self-employment. And he says that the expeditious processing of complaints or investigating non-compliance, it's about as useful as an ashtray on a motorbike. That's pretty damning stuff now, Minister.
Rhetoric overload from Jack O'Connor yesterday. It took me about 10 minutes to read all of the big words that he used criticising this
There's no campaign. Big words in that. Ashtray and motorbike.
Can I tell you, you know what? It would have been nice if maybe Jack O'Connor had had more influence on the then Labour Social Protection Minister for 5 years when she was in charge as opposed to taking a pot shot at me. This is the first time anybody in government has actually tackled or attempted to tackle this issue.
Okay.
So rather than criticise me, maybe he should get on board and help me and give us information that would actually make this more purposeful, more direct, and to actually help the people who are in precarious situations against their will. So get on board,
okay.
Jack, and stop being just a mouse.
Okay, Minister, that's your riposte, and both of you are well able for each other. Now, Minister, let's go to the cervical smear scandal. There has been a delay in returning calls to 75% of women who have contacted the screening helpline service that was set up after the scandal. Can people expect callbacks? Is the system being sorted?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I can only assume that when we set up the number that we never expected the thousands of women that have called would have called, but they have called and they're obviously all very concerned. What we're doing at the moment is that there's more staff being put behind the number. They are healthcare professionals with a history and an experience of treating cancer patients so that you're not just getting somebody like me to answer your call, but also we're dealing with the women who have a history first. We're checking their records so that when the healthcare professional does return your call, it's a meaningful and a reassuring telephone call, and we would hope to catch up this week. But I do acknowledge, obviously, there are far too many thousands of women waiting for a return of call. We hope to rectify that this
week.
And
very finally, Minister, Tony O'Brien, should he stay or should he go? The opposition are saying that they don't have confidence in him, even though, and he's going to go a month earlier because of accumulated leave. Is this just a, it's just a symbolic gesture?
Do you know, I was asked this the other day, Paul. He absolutely should stay. He said, I think, at the Health Committee last Friday that this was a personal blow for him. You know what? This is personal. Kate O'Connell was right. It's not about him. But this is personal to every single woman in the country who has gone through the cervical check programme in the last 10 years. This man has been head of so many divisions in our health service, from the Irish Family Planning Association to the Treatment Purchase Fund to the National Screening Programme, breast check, cervical check, the special delivery. Like, he knows this system inside out. If anybody should be able to provide us with the information to get to the bottom of this in the next number of weeks, it's him.
Okay, but it's
Far from letting him go off the sunset.
Minister, he's not going to. This mess that is the HSE in general has been around for decades. It's a cumulative effect. How can he sort? How will he sort it out in 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, he needs to at least show us the commitment that should have been there for donkey's ears. I mean, I don't mind a man going off to find a new job and that's deadly. But right now we are in complete distress and another scandal in the HSE. And he should be redoubling his efforts for the last 12 weeks of his public service time in this country to make sure that we get accountability, that we get responsibility, and more important, that we get the facts that we're blatantly missing at the moment. He needs to be helping us day in, day out, reporting day in, day out, not having rounds with Jim Daly over what he said or probably taking a pot shot at what Kate said last week.
And so perhaps
what the only people need from him is public service.
Okay. We leave it there. Minister for Employment Affairs and Social Protection, Regina Doherty, thank you very much for joining us.